It's a happy day. My heart feels like an alligator.
Howie Carr writes for the Boston Herald, hosts a daily radio show, one of the most famous men in New England.
It comes from the tabloid talk show stuff in Boston, and it was concocted there.
Put your hand on the radio.
Live from the Burna Less Lethal Pistol Studio.
Can somebody shout amen?
It's Howie Carr.
844-500-4242. Tom Shattuck in for Howie Carr. I work for the Main Wire. I have previously worked with Howie at the Boston Herald. And I've been a fan, like you guys, forever, since the 80s, when he was with Jerry Williams on The Governors. And said mean things about Ted Kennedy, and I couldn't believe it. We're in Massachusetts, good sir. I was just a teenager. Good sir, we're in Massachusetts. You don't speak ill of the Kennedys. 2 years later, I was speaking ill of the Kennedys, and it has a lot to do with Howie Carr, who, you know, I don't know if there's a great parallel between him and Diana DeSaglio, but he was the only guy going there, not just calling Ted fat boy, but going there, like, up against the mob, which meant at that time, in some years, going up against the mob in the FBI, Boston FBI office. Whew. Must have been a lonely feeling driving by that South Boston Liquor Mart and seeing a serial killer point at you as you drive by. But that's how he did. That's why there's just one Howie. All right, I do want to... You know what? We're going to get back to Marco Rubio in a second. But I do want to talk about election integrity, because what we're finding is that in blue states, and in Maine, we're certainly finding this, where Maine, there was a national story where Shenna Bellows had lost possession of a whole bunch of ballots. They ended up in some Amazon package somewhere. A whole bunch of just Maine ballots. This is the Secretary of State, and she has been on both sides of telling us that the elections are safe and secure, and then they're not. She said, yeah, I think that some illegal immigrants probably voted, but then some don't, and some do. Maybe they do, maybe they don't, maybe they don't. Well, there's this great, great piece of audio that these guys did. And this is just, this is a palate cleanse for us, because I find this so entertaining, so entertaining. There's a group up in Maine called the Unquirer, and I think it's just one guy, but it might be a few people. They're independent journalists. And they go out and they do all the journalisming in Maine that the traditional legacy media just won't do. The Portland Press Herald and the Bangor Daily News, they're not interested in scrutinizing or afflicting the powerful Democrats in the state whatsoever. So they're not doing the reporting. That's why the Maine Wire is doing so well right now, because there's so much left unharvested. Because the traditional media there in Maine could care less. But the Unquirer has done some great work, too. And while the Secretary of State of Maine has been saying, hey, the elections are just fine, you only there's not illegals voting, it's only citizens can vote up there, the Unquirer decided to call some town halls and see what was going on, including Falmouth. So they call up and they talk to the elections clerk, we'll say. Guy calls up and says, I've got a friend who's from Africa. This is Cut 21. I've got a friend from Africa, and I want to get him to vote. And listen, this is a long cut. We might start and stop, but it is worth taking this ride with me. Cut 21.
I have a friend who's Angolan. He doesn't speak English, and he wants to register for this election. The only problem is that he's going to be going back to Angola during the election. Can he get an absentee ballot sent to his...
Yeah.
Okay. So someone was saying that if the absentee ballot is sent to his P.O. box, that we could then get that absentee ballot and just mail it to him in Angola, and he could fill it out, send it back here, and we could just put it in a Dropbox for him?
You could, but if he goes to the Secretary of State, they'll just email him the ballot, and then he can email it back.
You could get a hard copy, but no, just go to the website. We'll just do an email to you, and it's automatic. Well, now you're going to say to yourself, if you're listening to this right now, well, there's got to be some safeguards, right? Not so much.
Oh, okay. So there's really two options. So I could either have him do it through the Secretary of State, and they'll just do the email thing because he's overseas. Or
right.
And that would actually be easier than having the ballot sent to his P.O. Right. box. Yeah.
Correct.
So I'm 99% sure he's a citizen. And then do you guys check birth certificates or green cards? Do you force him to show that?
No. Okay. No.
Yeah, because he
just has to sign that he's a citizen upon penalty of law.
Yeah, it's like, I think, honor-based. He just checks the box or something.
Yeah.
And I think in Maine, state of Maine.
Upon penalty of law, which means upon no penalty. In other words, just check here and you're voting. Don't ask us any more questions. This is automatic. Now, this is where the caller from the Enquirer, at this point, he's already caught his fish. He's already gotten the prize that you need, which is just to show that there's no election integrity. But he moves it even further. This is where this guy should be. If there were any such thing as real awards for journalism, this guy should be getting one.
There is no check if someone's a U.S. citizen, but they just want to know who the person is.
Right, exactly.
And when he goes back home to Angola, when he's not here, he'll just do the ballot situation, the absentee ballot, and
correct.
He can vote.
Correct.
Okay. And it's confusing because a lot of people will tell us, no, in Maine, you have to prove that you're an American or that it's ridiculous. I mean, the thing is, this guy is one of the most patriotic, democracy defending people I know, and he is adamant about voting in Maine elections because this election coming up is going to determine if he gets deported or not, right?
Right.
Yeah. Yep. There is in the state of Maine. There is no check on if someone's a U.S. citizen.
Correct. What? There is there's no check for me.
Yeah, in some states they actually force people to show that they're U.S. citizens, which is ridiculous, especially with the amount of immigration that we've had over the past 4 years. Do you agree that no one is illegal on stolen land?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And is America stolen land?
Yes.
Well, thanks for your help, clerk. Holy hell! All these people, everybody's an activist. Everybody's an activist, and everybody's crooked.
I think we need to FOIA the Maine Falmouth Secretary of whatever's email list to see who's been being emailed.
It is underway.
These faulty ballots. Good.
I can assure you, unfortunately, they will charge an arm and a leg, and it will take a long time.
We'll find out by 2030. Like, I get it, but at least we'll try.
But it's amazing how just enthusiastic they are. So they
email.
You don't have to go. Don't make him go to the mailbox in Angola. I mean, that shouldn't be hard enough to. That's being disenfranchised. No. We'll just do the honor system thing, and he can vote. It also tells you of all these, many of these healthcare facilities where there are patients inside. Do we assume that their ballots are getting to them when they're mailed to them? Some of these people have emotional disorders, and so, yeah, I get the feeling the bundling operation in Maine is also better than ever. Same thing with Massachusetts, though. None of this stuff is really new.
Shoeless Joe Jackson making an X saying he's a gambler on a legal document. Like, what are we doing?
Yeah, no kidding. No kidding. By the way, that building where that took place, where the deal was struck, the old Broadmoor in Boston next to Kenmore Square. They might tear that down. We have to make sure they don't. It's a great building. It was a different hotel. Howie would know. Cut 20 is the Enquirer. No, so after this happened, this became famous in Maine and different other parts of New England. After this phone call, this is just last week, a memo went out to all clerks from the big voting honcho in Maine. And the memo went out and said, don't answer questions from people who are calling you, because this is a one-party state. They can record you and then make us look like we're corrupt in letting illegals vote. So stop answering questions. So the Enquirer, this is cut 20. The Enquirer calls another town in Maine, and apparently right in the middle of the call, they got this memo.
And then he doesn't have to show any proof of citizenship, correct?
There's a box on the voter application that asks if you're a citizen.
Oh, no, sorry. I was asking, he doesn't have to show any proof of U.S. citizenship, right?
We don't ask, but if he has a document and wanted to bring that, he's more than happy to do that.
Okay, but just to clarify, Maine doesn't require proof of citizenship?
Phone call over. And that was the end of that. 844-500-4242. For all the latest and all that stuff, please do go to the Meanwhile. 844-500-4242. Let's go back to the phones. Shelby, we'll get back to more Rubio stuff in just a little bit. And let's go to Corey. Hey, Corey, you are next with Tom Shattuck on the Howie Car Show. Okay, let's go to Jeff. You are next with Tom Shattuck on the Howie Car Show. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, man, you're doing a great job. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, Jeff.
I wanted to mention on the poll why I think some people have gotten it wrong in terms of J.D. Vance versus Marco Rubio. Marco Rubio is a little older. He's a statesman. He survived more stuff politically. He also has a Latin American background, which is going to be a massive voting block, and it will be a greater way to compare and contrast when AOC starts to use her, you know, second-generation immigrant type of a you know, pillar. He will crush her with it. And I think J.D. Vance, Vice President Vance, I think, is smart enough to know that if he serves a second term as vice president, he will have teed himself up even further and I think will galvanize his election as president.
Jeff, I agree with everything you said, although do you think that politicians are in the habit of stepping aside for somebody else, especially when they're in the catbird seat? J.D. is the right-hand guy of MAGA Donald Trump right now. He speaks the language.
I have no answer for that other than to say I think that the political dynamics are such that, you know, it's not as black and white as it used to be. So many different dynamics, and the politics of race and background and, you know, country of origin is so powerful that I think that this would be, you know, a juggernaut for both, you know, for a Rubio and Vance ticket.
But let me ask you another thing, Jeff. You mentioned having to counter AOC, and she's still, regardless of the foolhardy trip that she took over the weekend, she still is young and attractive and very telegenic. She's good on social media. She is an unserious thinker, in my mind. Not that you're still going to – the panel and The View is still going to vote for her no matter what. But can she really draw from Rubio Latin votes? Because she uses the term Latinx, and I have friends who are Puerto Rican and Latino, and they would backhand me if I ever used the term Latinx. I don't know that the group is that woke.
That's true. You make valid points, but I still think that there's going to be a large... That argument will, I think, grow like a monster over the next 2 years leading up to the election.
Jeff, I appreciate the call. Good call. Thoughtful. Yeah, I go either way. I also like the fact that J.D. Vance rolls with the memes that make fun of him, like with the fat version of him. And he's cool like that. I love the fact that he's a veteran. I like Usha Vance. I like that the left can't help but be racist when they talk about Usha Vance. So, we'll see. Let's go. 844-500-4242. That is the number. This is Tom Shattuck in for Howie Carr. Let's go to Dennis. Hey, Dennis, what's going on?
Hey, Dennis. Tom. So, with regard to the SAVE Act, I think the Republican senators should all show up to the chamber with paper bags over their heads and insist that they be allowed to vote without proving who and what they are.
Hey, I love it. I love it. Who knows? They got Susan Collins came over. So maybe the shift is on. Maybe they can make it work after all. But I don't know. Maybe if there's some kind of momentum, I don't know. I do think that that would be the only way for a lot of these people, a lot of these senators, to come and do it. They don't like the citizenship repetitive steps. We'll see. We'll see what happens there. But we need something. A lot of the people, Republicans have to stop being afraid because there's a chance that they just get blown out anyway. So just get blown out fighting the good fight. 844-500-4242. That is the number. My name is Tom Shattuck. I am in for the great Howie Carr right here on the Howie Carr Show.
Watch the show live. Soundwave Dispatch Rumble. At rumble.com/the Howie Carr Show.
Rumble activate.
Howie Carr is back.
This one hurts. Jared, the Olympia restaurant in Lowell, closed. Have you ever been there? You know about it? Know anything about it?
No.
Greek place, been there for 7 years. It was a classic place. This is heartbreaking. Oh! Oh, man, that hurts. All right. Jared, today's poll question is brought to you by Perfect Smiles. Howie had his last appointment of the year at Perfect Smiles, which is good. Myself, Tom Shattuck, I have to have a Perfect Smiles appointment. I actually will make one. I will make one. I don't want to go where my kids go because I don't want them. I just don't want people just seeing my mouth. I'm so ashamed. It's my own problem. Back to the read, Tom. Back to the read. Okay. So, Howie had two cavities that needed to be filled, which he did over the winter. It's easy. They're right in New Hampshire. Go to Perfect Smiles. It's worth the trip. Visit them today, perfectsmiles.com, or call them at 603-595-6699. Jared, what is the poll question, and what are the results thus far?
Today's poll question, which you can vote in at howiecarshow.com, is who should top the 2028 GOP presidential ticket, J.D. Vance or Marco Rubio?
I'm going strong, J.D. Vance.
66% now for J.D. Vance, 34% for Marco Rubio.
Ooh, Rubio making more gains.
Slight climb in the past hour.
Very interesting. Like we said, we both like both of these guys, but at the end of the day, I think that Vance is the guy, although the caller made a great point that Rubio's got on-the-job experience, and he's been doing it. And he's like the guy's bulletproof. I don't want to say bulletproof because these days, if you're Republican, you know, you don't want to test the gods. But the guy is Kevlar. Like, he's really strong. He's impervious to being pushed around. Nobody beats him in an interview. But it's the same thing with Vance. Vance, I think, has more of an intellectual, spiritual bent. I will tell you this, that there's nobody that traditional and TDS Republicans hate more than Vance. They hate him. Like the old people from the old Weekly Standard, the old people from some people who used to be with National Review, like the Bulwark people, Dispatch people, they hate Vance. And I don't get it. I think the guy is interesting, funny, and an American success story. And have you seen Hillbilly LG?
I haven't. I haven't seen it, no, and I haven't read it either.
So. It's a great movie, and if it's remotely true, my goodness, this guy is lucky to be alive. But yeah, people just despise him. Maybe it's because he wrote the book and because he captured America's heart before he was, you know, became a Trumper. Maybe because he used to be very critical of Trump. But the people who hate Vance just hate him. Just hate him. At the same time, Rubio has been a squish. You know, 15 years ago, Rubio and John McCain were working on, and George W. Bush, to be honest, were looking at soft amnesty. As a matter of fact, there used to be a spot that played during the Howie Carr show featuring Rubio talking about the common sense immigration reform, and it was not a good look. Howie certainly was not a fan of that. But, you know, I think those days, since then, he has overwritten that phase of his life with more Trumpy behavior, and so people like it. All right, I'm Tom Shattuck, in for Howie Carr on The Howie Carr Show. Stay with us.
Live from the Byrna Less Lethal Pistol Studio, it's Howie Carr.
Tom Shattuck in for Howie Carr today. Enjoying this mountain of great audio we have. All right. This is 23 of Jared's, 22 of mine. By my count, that's 46. Is it 46? Or did I miss a number? That's a lot of audio. It really is. All right, let's go to Barack Obama, because, of course, we can't go by without him. He was on the Brian Tyler Cohen podcast, I think. Brian, whatever, podcast. And you can always count on Obama to rewrite history and remind you of how he was not a smidge, Not one, what did he say? Not one scandal. Nope, not one. Not a smidge. And remind you just how above it he was. And, you know, what a great professor he was on decency for all of us. This is, let's go to start with cut 14, Jared.
The other side does the mean, angry,
demagoguery,
you know, exclusive, us, them, you know, divisive politics. That's their home court.
Yeah.
Our court is coming together. Our court is, look, you know, a great example. Wasn't political.
Remember, this is the you know, he goes into Bad Bunny's halftime show, which of course was, I would say, divisive, if not just a moronic display of progressive values. Look at the dancing grass and a talentless dude rapping badly while standing on a telephone pole. You see this? It's not divisive. Well, that's fine, except maybe if you're trying to hear something in English and they don't even give you subtitles because God, goodness knows who Bad Bunny is thinking of fornicating with in his actual lyrics. But when he says not divisive, this is Mr. Typical White People. My grandmother was a typical white person. What? That's not divisive? They cling to their guns and religion, he says. His, you know, his vice president goes on to say, calls you Neanderthals and tells half the country that if you don't get your triple vax, you're going to kill the other half of the country. It's like, spare me, dude. You're the one who said, no, I'm not going to weigh in on this, but the Cambridge police acted stupidly. It's like, that was, you did the divisive stuff. You're the one who said that Trayvon Martin, if you had a son, he'd look like him. That's you. You're the one who used race. You're the one who blamed the Benghazi murders of our guys on a video movie maker who lived in America. Did you ever apologize to him for that? You lied about it. You said that it was a protest gone awry. You said that you lied to people. You also didn't send help, which is another thing. And then you had your ambassador go out there and say, Ambassador Susan Rice go out there and saying, well, you know, we couldn't get people in there in time, sorry. When anybody with a head on their shoulder said, well, how did you know when it was going to end? What do you mean you couldn't get them there in time? Get them there when the ambassador goes missing. Not divisive. This is the guy who conflated immigrants with illegal immigrants from day one as he lectured to you with his head up in the air looking down at you. You know, we got people who say, I enjoy my phone, but you wouldn't have Nikola Tesla live in the country. Doing that crap the whole time. He was absolutely the most divisive president, damaging president we have ever had. And you can tell that he was because the media gave him a true, good, fateful leaving alone. 844-500-4242, that is the number. I can only handle so much of Obama. It is such a fraud. Let's go to Mike. Mike, you are on with Tom Shattuck on the Howie Carr Show. Hey, Mike.
I almost hung up listening to that.
I know. I apologize, Mike. I apologize.
Hey, listen, you guys are doing a great job for us up here with the Maine Wire in the state of Maine.
Thank you. Mike, let me say something before you go further on that. I have not worked with a more motivated number of journalists, most of whom are on the younger side, ever. These guys are working so hard, they don't complain. They just dig and dig and dig. So I just want to give my own hat tip to those reporters up there in the meanwhile.
Yeah, yeah. But look, the situation up here with Bellows and her refusal to let the Trump administration have clarity on the voter rolls up here, especially after we had the ballots turn up somewhere else.
Yep.
Look, I don't know why. You got to call in the U.S. Postal Inspectors. That's who can break this case for you. They're the oldest federal law enforcement agency in the nation. They were founded in 1801. And look, they have the power of search warrants, power of subpoena, the power of arrest. They have a division known as the External Crime Division. They are the ones that inspect theft or diversion of mail. This was diversion of mail. So maybe we can tip off somebody and get them up here. The U.S. Postal Inspectors are the way to go.
I will tell you one thing, that there is a lot of information coming out of Maine, I'm not going to say from whom, to Washington, D.C. So the Postmaster General was Louis DeJoy. He was the Trump guy, right? And the new one is David Steiner. I guess he would be the guy who runs the operation. It is, I think, Maine needs so much federal oversight that they need the amount of resources and personnel that it would take to do a huge RICO case. And that's just based on some of the fraud that we're seeing, the Medicaid fraud. So, yeah, as far as ballots going missing, although would that be her? Because that was a private character, a carrier in UPS, right? So I'm not sure where the custody chain is with the ballots. But also, Mike, the fact that she's trying to dox, you know, ICE agents and take away their cloaking on license plates tells you that she is somebody who's working as an insurgent against the federal government in a way that's going to risk their lives. I mean, it's just absolutely gross. Gross. Mike, thanks for the call. We'll see. We'll see. But I can tell you one thing. The main wire is on it. All right. Back to... here's a good one. Oh, we have to get to this. That's right. I want to talk a little bit about the climate because New York... Al Gore has resurfaced because I don't know why. Something we did wrong in our lives spiritually. So Al Gore is back. And this is Cut 5. He is back saying the same old things that he's always said. By the way, he's been wrong on absolutely everything, but he doesn't care. He's made a killing doing this.
This climate crisis is continuing to get much worse, much faster than we are deploying the solutions. Yeah. Recently, Mother Nature is staging an intervention. This past summer has made it obvious to most everyone that this crisis has reached a new level of seriousness. We're using the sky as an open sewer. We're trapping as much extra heat every day with this pollution as would be released by 600,000 Hiroshima-class atomic bombs. That's disrupting the water cycle and creating all these catastrophes. And we don't have much time left to wake up and start taking action. I wish, David, that I was eloquent enough to find the words to transfer from my heart and the hearts of these activists to others everywhere in this country and the world, the sense of urgency that's appropriate for
oh,
this.
Oh, shut up.
And it ought to be.
This is, he's been doing this stuff forever. A couple years ago, Ken Braun wrote about this in Capital Research. He said, Gore's prophecy regarding Kilimanjaro National Park in Tanzania was more precise and just as wrong. Within a decade, there will be no more snows of Kilimanjaro, Gore said to an audience in Inconvenient Truth. This occurred moments before he made his prediction for Glacier National Park in Montana. Alluding poorly to the title of Ernest Hemingway's short story, The Snows of Kilimanjaro, Gore was trying to claim that Africa's tallest mountain with a peak that stands higher than 19,000 feet would no longer have measurable snow cover on or before 2016. As of 2022, snowforecast.com, a webpage for skiers, reported that an average of 93 combined inches of snowfall, almost 8 feet, hits just the middle altitudes of Kilimanjaro during November and December. And 9 inches of combined snowfall is the average expected for the middle elevations for July and August, the lightest two-month period for snowfall in the middle part of the mountain. The upper altitudes of Kilimanjaro supposedly get pummeled with an average of 171 inches of snow during November and December. So he's off on that. Hurricane hyperbole. These failed prognostications about the future disasters of climate change were bad enough, but the hyperbole over hurricanes in An Inconvenient Truth was far worse. Here's Gore. We have seen in the last couple of years a lot of big hurricanes, said Gore. In the 2006 film, the summer of 2005 has been one for the books. In his history lecture on the hurricanes of 2005, Gore claimed the lesson to learn was that we had been ignoring, quote, warnings that hurricanes would be stronger because of human-inflicted climate change. NOAA, hosts a regularly updated webpage titled Global Warming and Hurricanes, an overview of current research results. The update as of October 2022 has this to say. We conclude that the historical Atlantic hurricane data at this stage do not provide compelling evidence for a substantial greenhouse warming-induced century-scale increase in frequency of tropical storms, hurricanes, or major hurricanes, or in the proportion of hurricanes that become major hurricanes. NOAA lists six named hurricanes making landfall on the continental United States in 2005, including four major ones. What Gore knew or should have known, but did not mention when he claimed there had been a lot of big hurricanes, was that the four major storms of 2005 were all measured at Category 3 intensity when they made landfall. This includes the star of Gore's presentation, the obviously devastating Hurricane Katrina. So this article is just one of the many articles out there that just documents how this guy is a fraud. And there are some other voices finally getting out there. I listened to the Heartland Institute podcast. Listen to it. Do yourself a favor if you don't listen to it. Listen to it. And hear what happens when a group of intellectuals get together and scientists and they decide not to fall for climate alarmism. In fact, they just make some sense. And it's wonderful to hear. I actually have a little bit of... Where is this? Where's my guy here? My okay. Now, cut six is this guy named Alex Newman, who says a lot of what the people at the Heartland Institute have always been saying. Look at the details.
The question depends on, I think, a very flawed fundamental presupposition. It depends on the idea that carbon dioxide is pollution. And I would argue, after interviewing hundreds of scientists, including many who've worked for the UN IPCC, many of the leading scientists in the world, that the notion that CO2 is pollution is absolutely preposterous. We exhale about 2 pounds of it every single day. The proportion of greenhouse gases made up of human CO2 emissions is a fraction of a fraction of 1%. The idea that that is going to destroy the planet or change the temperature of the Earth is, frankly, in my opinion, totally ludicrous. But from a totalitarian perspective, if you can convince people that CO2 is pollution, there's no human activity that doesn't result in CO2
emissions, including living,
including dying, turning on a light switch. Every single aspect of your life, then, if we submit to the idea that CO2 is pollution, then comes under the regulatory control of the people who claim to be saving us from pollution. So when they do these environmental studies and they say, well, your CO2 footprint will be smaller if you eat bugs or you do this, that, or the other, you drive an electric car, that doesn't show anything about whether that's going to benefit the environment or not. In fact, CO2 has actually been very beneficial for the environment. In interviewing Trump's climate advisor, Dr. William Happer, a physics professor at Princeton University, he said the Earth is...
It goes on and on like that, and he nails a lot of great bullet points that the media will never tell you about. Also, we've got another interview coming up that shows Trump's EPA guy batting back all this hysteria over him lifting the Obama climate executive action. Also very clarifying. 844-542-42. That is the number. My name is Tom Shattuck. I'm filling in for Howie Carr on The Howie Carr Show.
And Saturday was Valentine's Day, and the wife and I looked at going out to a restaurant, and the menus were limited, super expensive, super crowded. So we said, you know what? We're not doing that. We're actually going to have a great, decent meal. We're going to have some bacon-wrapped fillets from Omaha Steaks. We're going to have some scalloped potatoes from Omaha Steaks, and some caramel apple tartlets for dessert from Omaha Steaks. It was three phenomenal pieces of food on Valentine's Day, and it was a great night. And you don't have to wait for Valentine's Day, though. Omaha Steaks are great anytime, and today is President's Day, and I'm going to tell you about this in a little bit, but you need to get into Omaha Steaks. It's fresh heartland beef. It's one of the oldest beef purveyors in America. Everything they have is fantastic, from the beef to burgers to chicken to pork, anything you can think of, salmon they have. The desserts are great. Everything is great. Great comfort food, great staples. Omaha Steaks is the way to do it. It's great if you want everyday protein, and it's delivered right to your door. So you order it, you put it in the freezer, it comes frozen, you just leave it there, you take it out whenever you want to deal with it. It's convenient, and it's such a great thing to have on hand, high-quality proteins. I love their hot dogs as well. I always talk about the All Beef Franks. They're fantastic, but for a special occasion, I whipped out the bacon-wrapped filet, and it was unbelievable. And you can celebrate President's Day with exceptional handcrafted flavor and the convenience of Omaha Steaks. They offer an exclusive lineup of USDA-certified tender steaks, gourmet burgers, versatile chicken, pork, seafood, and more, all delivered right to your door. It is the choice of steakhouses and professional chefs all around the world. Grass-fed, grain-finished beef, which has more marbling, has more exceptional flavor. Every steak perfectly aged to maximize tenderness and a hand-cut by master butchers in America's heartland. And every bite is backed by their 100% satisfaction guarantee. They've been family-owned for over 100 years of expertise in the meat industry, backed by a 100% money-back guarantee. America's original butcher since 1917 has been Omaha Steaks. Everyone here loves Omaha Steaks. Cannot recommend the quality and the price point highly enough. And speaking of price point, you can get 50% off the world's best everyday proteins. Just go to omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their President's Day sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code Howie at checkout. So that's 50% off omahasteaks.com and an extra $35 off with the promo code Howie at checkout. Go to omahasteaks.com, get 50% off site-wide during their President's Day sale, and use promo code Howie at checkout for an extra $35 off. Minimum purchase may apply, but however much you purchase, you are going to love your Omaha Steaks.
Howie Carr will return. Howie Carr is back.
Due to popular demand, I'm going to play the Hillary sound again. This is Cut 7. Hillary was at the Munich, whatever it was, Munich Festival. And she decided that Donald Trump is the root of all evil.
The West. He's betrayed human values. He's betrayed the NATO Charter, the Atlantic Charter, the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. A lot of what has been done before to try to make sense of how difficult it is to restrain people who want unaccountable power. And none of us in this room, including all of us on this panel, would choose to live under a regime that was so unaccountable that it could act with impunity the way that Putin does, except that's who Trump is modeling himself after.
So a Czech government official, a Republican, a conservative, Peter Machinka, retorted sharply at her, and she did not appreciate it.
Well, first, I think you really don't like him.
You know, that is absolutely true. But I really, not only do I not like him, I don't like him because of what he's doing to the United States and the world.
We'll have more of that when we get back. This is Tom Shattuck in for Howie Carr on The Howie Carr Show.